Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. We'd love to stay connected with you by following us on social media at Freedom House OC, as well as our YouTube channel. Let's listen in on today's message.
Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, say, this is the real happy hour. This is the real happy hour, okay? You'll feel better about yourself after service. Come on now. Well, hey, welcome to Midweek. My name is Josiah Silva. I'm the lead pastor of Freedom House Church, and it's my honor to be able to serve this awesome church. If you join us for the first time, you're loved by God. You're loved by us. We're not a perfect church, but I will tell you this. We will love you perfectly by heaven. Come on, shout amen. If you're watching online, welcome. You're in the room with us. Tonight, I am very excited to bring you the word, and I really feel tonight's going to be an insightful message, a discerning message. And I'm just going to tell you up front, I'm coming after everything the enemy's trying to mess with you for this year. Come on, somebody. As you already heard, we've declared that this is the year of double portion. Someone say double portion. And every year, we always seek God for a fresh word, something that he would have for our year. And I want to tell you, the Bible is a prophetic book, okay? It is a prophetic book. What is prophetic? It speaks to your future, right? And that's why you need prophetic words. You need prophetic friends. You've had pathetic friends, but you need prophetic friends. Come on, somebody. Don't point. That's mean. Come on now. We've had pathetic friends, but we need prophetic friends. And this is a prophetic church. And the Bible's very prophetic. It speaks to our future, not just our past. And so what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up for a great year. And I really believe that if we start our year with God first, then the rest of the year will be blessed. And so welcome to some of the first services. Amen to the house of God. Tonight I want to talk to you about how to fight your battles. If you could grab your Bibles, go with me to the book of Daniel. Grab your Bibles and your outline. As you remain standing for the reading of God's word, we're going to jump in tonight to this teaching. I'm really excited to teach this particular verses tonight as we're going to talk about one of the spiritual weapons or one of the spiritual things that we as a church can have so that we can together be able to overcome the things that this year have. And we've been talking about fighting our battles and about overcoming. How many have some battles to fight? Come on, sir. I'll raise my hand first. I saw a foot go up in the back. God bless you. Come on, somebody. Two hands, a foot. How many been through so many storms that if I go on the Weather Channel, your face will come up? Come on, somebody. Amen. All right. They're going to name a storm after you. Come on now. Amen. El Josiah. Just kidding. Come on now. Daniel chapter 10. We're going to read verses 2 and 3. Then we're going to jump down to 10 and 12. I'm reading out the New Living Translation. And tonight we're really going to uncover how we can overcome the attack of the enemy in this message series that we've been talking on Wednesdays, how we fight our battles. And then let me just say right now, do not miss next Wednesday. Okay? Tell your neighbor, say, don't miss next Wednesday. Because we're kicking off our Wednesday night revival nights. And next Wednesday, I'm telling you, get here early, get here soon. I'm bringing in one of my friends. His name is Dr. Mike Maiden. Okay, hold on. He is a prophet, okay? Don't be afraid of the prophetic. It encourages you. But Dr. Mike Maiden has spoken prophetic words into my life and people's life, like a real prophet. I'm not talking about like, oh, someday, one day, you're going to have a good day. I'm talking about like they start naming stuff like, Your family, they start naming like every, like, well, my, oh, snap. So you better, come on, somebody, amen. You're like, what? Okay, he has prophesied over the Pope, okay? God has opened amazing doors for him. He's had the opportunity to do that. He's going to be in this house next Wednesday, and I'm going to release his prophetic gift to prophesy and pray over your life. So if there was a service you ought to get to, I'll see you next Wednesday. Come on, somebody. You're like, all right, don't miss that. Then the following Wednesday, we're bringing in the Heart Revolutionary himself. Pastor Sergio De La Mora is going to be in the house. He's going to preach down there, okay? And then the following week, it's going to be a party up in this place. Come on, somebody. We're going to be in our fasting season of fasting and praying, and you're not going to want to miss a church service because the way you start something is how you end something. Say amen. Okay, so let's kick it off tonight. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 through 3, and let's read here. This, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. The prophet Daniel writes, when this vision came to me, he said, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 whole weeks. How many weeks? 3 weeks. It says, and all that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. And that was, he was fasting. Say he was fasting. This is what is called the Daniel Fast. And this is what we're going to be starting this Sunday, is a Daniel Fast for 3 weeks. And we're inviting all our church community, those watching online, those that are hearing this on podcast or replay, is we're inviting you to fast with us. And if you want more information on fasting, I believe they'll hand that out to you. You can also go to our website. We're going to believe God for miracles. Say miracles. Now jump down to verse 10 here. He says, just then, okay, he fasted for 3 weeks. Then at the end of 3 weeks, says, just then a hand touched me and lifted me, and is still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and say, you're very precious to God. Come on, encourage them for me tonight. You're very precious to God. He says, so listen carefully to what I have to say to you. He said, stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, Daniel writes, I stood up and I was still trembling. Verse 12, watch this now. Then he said, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day, which day? The first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, he said, your requests have been heard in heaven, and I have come in answer to your prayer. I want you to see that the moment that Daniel prayed, angels came in response to Daniel's prayer. And I just want to tell somebody right out the gate, I'm telling you, that as we begin to pray and go on this 21-day fast, that I believe angels are going to be dispatched, come on, over your children, over your home, over your future, come on, over your marriage. Shout amen. Now watch verse 13, though, because this next verse, let me just volley up this next verse so it can be into our hearts. Daniel is going to peel back the curtain of spiritual warfare. And this is one subject that God wants us to be educated in what goes on in the spiritual realm. Do not be afraid of the spiritual realm, because see, what happens is a lot of people, they get their spiritual education from movies. You believe more in paranormal activity than the Holy Scriptures. Come on, somebody. Okay. You need to know that the Bible is a spiritual book. And right now, Daniel's going to peel back the curtain and show us what happens in the spiritual realm when we pray. And this is deep. Tell your neighbor, so this is good stuff, okay? And this is what the angel says, what was happening while he was praying. In verse 13, he says, but for 21 days, how many days? And how many days did he fast for? So I want you to see, 21 days he was fasting. And the angel says, for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, that was a demon, he said, blocked my way. He says, but then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of kingdom of Persia. Verse 14, now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time that is yet to come. I want you to see that while Daniel was fasting, the angels were battling in the spiritual realm, and at the end of Daniel's fast, the angel gets delivered, and now breakthrough is coming. Oh God, I feel like preaching already, man. I just again want to say that as we fast, that there's a battle that's going on in the heavenlies, but you are going to overcome, not because you're good, but your trust was in God, and breakthrough's going to come to that addicted child, that broken marriage, to our generation, to Orange County, and to Freedom House Church. Come on, give God praise. I feel the Lord in this house. Say hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight. The title of my message is How I Fight My Battles, Part 2. But I'm going to talk to you tonight about prayer and fasting. Let's pray. Bow your head. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, because your word is good. Father, God's ways and God's word never fails. And so tonight, Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves. We don't draw attention to who we are, but to what you want to do through us. So Father, speak to us prophetically, precisely, specifically, God, that we would be people that would pray and trust in you. And Father, tonight, let us overcome these battles. Let us expose every demonic attack, and that we would fight our battles properly in the spiritual realm. We submit all our plans unto you, minimize our fears, and maximize our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone say, amen. Give God one more hand clap. You may be seated. And tell your neighbor, say, we win. Just tell them, say, we win. Come on, somebody. We win. Well, last Wednesday, we began this journey on this series, kind of mini-series or January, about how we fight our battles. And I've been talking to you that in life, the Christian life, is not a playground, it's a battleground, okay? And the real Christians will tell you that. No, it's easy. Well, God bless you. Pray for me. Come on, somebody. That the Christian life is a battleground. If you have not realized yet, you are going to face some battles. And if anybody ever tells you that if you give your life to Jesus, you're never going to go through something, they are lying. Run. Come on, somebody. In fact, I'll say that the moment you decide to serve God, it's almost like the battle's come. Hello. You're like, man, I felt like I didn't go through stuff till I started going to church. Come on, somebody. You're like, the minute I got baptized, all of a sudden, come on, all hell break loose. Come on, say amen. The reason why that is because now you've become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You see, the devil didn't fight you when you were on his team. Talk to me, somebody. You ruined your own life, so he just let you mess your own life up. The enemy has limited resources. Now, the question would be, well, then why does God let us go through these battles? The truth is, God lets us go through these battles so you can see the mighty hand of God. See, God wants to show us miracles, but how can you ever see a miracle unless you're in a situation that requires a miracle? Shout amen. Someone's like, I want to experience a miracle, Lord, but let somebody else go through my drama. That's not how it works. Okay, God allows us. He allows us to get into battles. He'll allow the enemy to manifest himself in our lives so that we can see the faithfulness of God, so that we can know how good God is, so that we can realize his power and his strength, and ultimately know that we overcome by the blood of Jesus and the power of his name. Say amen. And so when we start, you know, going through life, we realize there are a lot of different battles, and some of the battles that I said, the hardest battles, I'm going to tell you, hashtag real talk, okay? The hardest battle really is not the enemy. The hardest battle is when you got to deal with stuff in your own life. I call it the enemy of the inner me. Talk to somebody. It's ourselves. And tonight, one of the toughest battles that I know you go through, or maybe it's just me, pray for your boy, okay? But something we all go through is the battle of waiting. Come on, somebody. By a show of hands, who loves to wait? Nobody. Okay, two people. Well, no, somebody, okay, sometimes. Come on, somebody. Who love? I mean, I don't think anybody. I love to wait. Come on. If you love to wait, I will pay you $5 to the DMV next time I got to go. You can wait. Come on, somebody. You know, nobody loves to wait. But the Bible is very clear, and I want to speak to this, that I want to talk about how the power of fasting and prayer brings breakthrough. But the reality is nobody likes to wait, but the Bible speaks very clearly that there are seasons in our life, and God talks again and again about the season of waiting. About the season where you're like, God, I just feel like I'm waiting for your hand to move. God, I feel like, are you taking your time? Did you press snooze? Where are you, Lord? Anybody ever been there before? I'll raise my hand. Where you're waiting. I remember when my wife and I, we couldn't have children, and the doctor said it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for you to be able to conceive a child because some of the things that we were going through. And so we went to this doctor and that doctor, and we had failed pregnancy after. Actually, we didn't even get a pregnant, a positive pregnancy. It's just nothing ever viable. They went to the doctors where they put, you know, they put all the microscopic stuff, and nothing worked. And I remember we were waiting and waiting. When, Lord, will we have a child? And is it even going to be possible to have a child? I remember waiting, you know, for doctors to give us the report of the condition. I remember waiting, you know, in life for some family member to finally surrender to God and to change their life, and wondering, God, when are they going to surrender and change their life to God? I remember waiting, you know, God, when I was young and in my career, Lord, when is my break going to come, and when am I going to get an opportunity to maybe move into this career or start my business? I remember waiting for business deals to close, and God, I gave my tithes or my tithe. Come on, somebody. And when is my prosperity going to hit? When am I trusting you? I remember waiting for this new facility to open and going through all hell. Come on, somebody. God, when is this building going to open? I've been through seasons of waiting. And can I tell you something that I've learned through seasons of waiting? Is that while we're waiting, God is working. Come on, somebody. That even when we don't see him working, it doesn't mean that God isn't working. And I can say this with confidence because I've seen the faithfulness hand of God, that when I have been faithful to him in prayer, faithful to him in fasting, faithful to him in my life, is that even though I don't see him moving, God is still moving. That God is not limited by what I can see, as if God says, only when you see me, I'm doing something. Come on, somebody. But we need to realize that God still works, that while we are waiting, God is working. And just because we don't see anything happening doesn't mean God is not working. And I want to encourage somebody right here at this point of the message that maybe what you're going through right now, you're in a waiting season. And I just want to encourage you that just because you don't see God moving doesn't mean God's not working. And you don't give because there have been so many people, watch this now, that have given up on their faith on God simply because they don't see him doing something. That's when they throw in the towel and they say, man, maybe God's not doing nothing. And they give up on their salvation. Don't you give up just yet. In fact, the battle gets toughest when the breakthrough is right around the corner. Come on, shout amen. You see, just because we don't see a way doesn't mean there is no way. That's why I love the story of Moses in the Red Sea. They thought they were done. We're finished. The sea's behind us. The Pharaoh's army is in front of us. There is no way, and they're freaking out. And Moses says, be still and know that he is God. And God says, you think I'm out of options? You think I only got options that you can think of? You think I can only add up what you can add up? God says, watch this. And he blows with the breath of his nostrils. And when he blows, the Red Sea opens wide open. And he says, where there is no way, God can still make a way. Come on. In fact, God is working such a large plan that sometimes it takes a little longer. Say amen. You know, it takes longer for that miracle to come through. You know, they say that an elephant, in order for it to have a child, it takes up to 2 years. 2 years. And for, you know, on the other hand, where dogs will have puppies, just bam, come on somebody. Sometimes what's so big in your life is an elephant-sized miracle. And when you see somebody else getting little breakthrough, just know that sometimes what's inside of me is going to be elephant size. It's going to be so big that it takes a little longer. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Shout amen. We have to realize this. And just because, you know, there's delay, that doesn't mean there's denial. Worry won't change anything, but trusting God changes everything. Come on. And when sometimes we think it's a no, that no might just be a not yet. Not yet, my child. Don't settle for that. Just not yet. And just trust in me and wait into those things. And one thing the enemy tries to do is in those waiting season is to get us to give up. And the dilemma that we have is just because we don't see God working, sometimes we think that our waiting is no good. But that is why I love the book of Daniel. Because in the book of Daniel, in the verses we just read, Daniel is praying. And Daniel is waiting for God to move. He's like on his knees, and the Bible says he goes on a fast, and he's fasting, and he's not eating any meat. That means he's saying no to double cheeseburgers. Talk to me now, okay? That means he said no when the office that one time, that stingy boss decided to buy lunch for everybody. Come on. And you're like, I'm fasting this week. Come on now. They brought you a Starbucks double frappuccino upside down, sideways. Come on, whatever they call them. And he says, no, thank you, because I'm waiting on God. Day after day, they bring him this sweet food and meat. And he's like, no, I'm making some carne asada. He's like, sorry, I'm on a fast. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that he's fasting. The scripture says that he's waiting, and he's not seeing God do anything. In this season of mourning, season of fasting, he's literally waiting on God, and it seems like nothing's going on. But then the Bible says that when he thinks nothing's happening, something breaks out. Something powerful comes into his life. But what's so amazing, and I want to start this here, is what caused him to go on this fast. Because what will help you in your season of waiting is trusting in the miracle that God wants to bring. Your why will help your waiting. Your why will help your waiting. It's a place in your life when you start to fast and you start to pray that you say, I care more about my breakthrough than an extra 15 minutes of sleep. I care more about my marriage than a double cheeseburger. I care more about my child. I care more about my future. I care more about my generation. I care more about my friends than some donuts. I care more about me finally not worrying so much and not being addicted. I care more about my mental strongholds coming down. So I gotta find my why so I can wait for God to bring my miracle. Is there anybody who's hungrier for your why during your wait? Say amen. Tell your neighbor, say, find your why. Say, find your why. You got to find your why. And Daniel had his why. And Daniel's why, let me give you some context here of why Daniel fasted. You see, the book of Daniel, the backdrop of this book is Daniel and his God-fearing friends had been imprisoned and forced to live in a town called Babylon, very ungodly place.
super ungodly. And Babylon, the Babylonian kingdom, was a very polytheistic religious culture, so they worshiped all kinds of gods. They had gods for everything. And Daniel had many opportunities to throw in his towel on his faith, but he remained faithful to the Lord. The scriptures actually tell us in the book of Daniel that one time, for holding on to his faith, he got thrown into a lion's den full of hungry lions. But thank God the lions were on the Daniel fast. You'll get that one on the way home. Come on, son, get it? They fasted Daniel. No? All right. The Daniel fast, the lions didn't eat Daniel. God shut the mouth of the lion, and the picture of that is sometimes people in the world will throw you to the mouth of lions. Sometimes you feel surrounded at work by lions who want to devour your life. What is the picture of the lion? The false lion. The real lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But the false lion, the Bible says, is like the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone he may devour. And sometimes you will go through moments of lions trying to devour you. But the Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Talk to me, somebody. And every tongue that rises up against you, every hater sipping on the haterade with the hateritis, with the hate, come on. He says every tongue that rises up, you shall condemn, for this is the inheritance of God's children. Come on, clap and shout amen, like you got an inheritance, amen. So the Bible says that Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den, but they couldn't take him out with those haters. Then the Bible says that he finally got word that Ezra, you see the book of Ezra and the book of Daniel are written around the same time, but he gets word that Ezra faced severe opposition in rebuilding God's temple and God's kingdom, and this one drove Daniel to his knees. See, something in our life will sooner or later drive us to our knees. Sooner or later. You could fight it all you want. Fight it! But sooner or later, you're going to realize that I need to drop down to my knees. And this was the straw for Daniel when he finally found out, God, they're stopping your kingdom from being built. And he was tired of seeing God's people be oppressed. He was tired of seeing God's people be overwhelmed. He was tired of seeing, you know, God, his deliverance come to his family. He was tired of it. He said, I'm sick and tired of it. So when I don't know what to do, I'm just going to cry out to God and fast. And I want to say that this fast that we're about to go on, and yes, tonight I'm trying to stir you up to get hungry for more of God, hungry for more prayer, hungry for more fasting, because this is how breakthrough is going to come. Daniel gets so fed up. He was sick and tired of the same old, drama, the same old attack of the devil, the same old mental stronghold, the same old thing, the same old problems, the same old nonsense. He says, if I want to see something different, then I got to do something different. Talk to me, somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but there's going to be at least 4, 5, 10, maybe 100, maybe 1,000 people who are going to say, I'm sick and tired of the same old. I'm not going to have the same old year I had in 1980, 1975, 2000, 99. I'm going to have a different year, so I'm going to do something different this year. I'm going to seek God, and I'm going to fast unto the Lord. Is there anybody who wants more of God and less of the world? Give God a shout on a Wednesday night. Yes, Lord. Daniel says, I'm going to pray. I'm starting to sweat. Pray for me. Come on, somebody. Let me go back to my cage right here by my table. Amen. We need to realize that sooner or later, we got to get hungry for God to move. God, I want you to move in my life. I want you to bring breakthrough. The Bible says that if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. He's the God of the halfway. We have to say, God, you do it all. God says, I'll meet you halfway. You step out in faith and I'll make you walk on water. But you still got to step out. God meets us halfway. And Daniel finally says, that's it, I'm going to fast. And the Bible says that when Daniel begins to fast, he starts to fight his battles in a spiritual way. He didn't try to fight his battle the ghetto way. Talk to me, somebody. See, some of us, we know how to fight the ghetto way. We need to learn how to fight the godly way. Talk to me, amen. Come on now. Tell your neighbor, say, be godly. Not the other one. Amen. Daniel fasts. And let me get the backdrop. Let me give you the theological point, and I want to pray for you. Daniel begins to fast, and when Daniel fasts, the Bible says he has an angelic visitation. An angel shows up. he begins to pray and fast, and an angel comes, and God dispatches angels to Daniel's prayer. And I want you to write this down. This is more than a point. Here is a theological statement for you, okay? And I want you to embrace this point, not just, oh, this is cute. Let me write it on the paper I put my gum on. No, come on, somebody. This is a theological statement that will change the way you fight the battles that you face. This will help you overcome everything the enemy is trying to overcome you with. And here I want you to write this down, that when we fast and pray, angels are released to battle on your behalf. Thank you, Jesus. That when, emphasis on when, emphasis, come on somebody. When we fast and pray, angels are released to battle on your behalf. So there are two ways that we can battle. Either you can try to fight it, or you can let God fight it through his angels. Now, most of us would say, well, of course I want God and his angels to fight it. God says, I'll fight them for you when you pray and fast. Because then I'll know that you truly trust me and not you. Then I'll know that you'll put yourself second and put me first. Because God says, I will back up those who trust in the Lord. He's not going to back up those who trust in their bank account, trust in their skills, trust in their resume, trust in their degree, but trust in the level of the God that they serve. Somebody shout amen. When we fast, because the angel didn't come until Daniel fasted and he prayed. And I'm just going to say this, and I say it with love, and I say this with care and grace, but could it be that maybe angels haven't been dispatched because you haven't prayed? Could it be that the reason we're so frustrated is because we're fighting with our own strength? And we're feeling so limited. And we give God fast food prayers hoping for a... We throw God 10-cent prayers hoping for a $1 million response. Talk to me, somebody. I'll look at the floor. I didn't look at nobody. Come on, say amen. Could it be that we're asking God to move mountains, but we won't even start climbing? We won't move. Move that, but I ain't gonna move. Say amen. When we pray, angels are released. Now, let me give you some scriptural verses to support this theological statement. If you're watching online, go to your Bible and go with me here. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. Watch what the Bible says. The word of the Lord says, see, the Lord says, I am sending. What is he sending? An angel ahead of you to guard you, the Bible says, you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared for you. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20, they'll put it up here. What is God sending? He's sending an angel, the Bible says, to guard us. Tell your neighbor, God's going to send an angel. Say that, God's going to send an angel. He says he's going to send it. Watch this now. Very important. If you got, you know, a pen, underline this in your Bible or in your notes. He says he's going to send it to guard you. Right? I'm sorry, to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place he's prepared for you. Say guard and bring. Why do we need to fast? We need to fast and we need to pray because God's trying to bring you to a place he has prepared for you in 2019. And I'm going to tell you right now, just like God has a plan for your life, the devil has a plan for your life. And the enemy's meeting, there's a board meeting happening right now with the powers of Satan trying to figure out how he's going to rob you of your destiny. Meanwhile, we're messing around and the enemy's trying to set up a plan to make you fall. Delilah was sent. Come on, somebody. And we need to realize that, God, I'm not going to play around with my future. I ain't going to play around with the things you've entrusted me, but I'm going to pray. Come on. And I'm going to have an angel that when I walk into February, don't you worry, devil, I got an angel. When I walk into March, I got an angel. When I walk into April, I got an angel. When you walk into that opportunity, I got an angel. When you walk into that hospital room, I got an angel. When we walk into the next Costa Mesa campus, we got angel. When you walk into a boardroom, I got angels. I'm not just showing up. I got angels all around me. And the devil, you want to tell the devil, can't touch this because I got, come on somebody. Tell your neighbor, say, I got angels. That they fight my battles, but do we pray? And this is why we're fasting. Why are we fasting as a church? Because we're asking God, Lord, dispatch 100,000 angels, Lord. And bring breakthrough to this generation. Say out, amen. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. I got more verses. Where are you coming with this theology? Here it is. Therefore, angels are only servants. They're spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. This protection, people say, are guardian angels real? Yes, if you're saved, say amen. You know? Now, can we pray to dispatch angels for people that ain't saved? Yes. But I'm going to tell you right now, let me tell you a reason why you ought to give your life to the Lord. So God could say, I can now guard you with angels. When you gave your life to Jesus, people say, oh, it doesn't matter. Everybody's the same, whether you're saved or not saved. No, that's not true. When you're saved and you belong to God, in the spiritual realm, you are sealed, the Bible says, with the Holy Spirit. And so now you belong to God. And you're like, no, devil, I belong. Don't you mess with me. I belong to him. I am a child of God. I am royalty. I am of the bloodline of the Savior. Shout amen. Acts chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 says, but during the night, who showed up? A what? An angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand at the temple courts, he said, and tell people about this new life. An angel brought him out. And I'm telling you, we got to dispatch angels to bring us out. Psalms 103, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says this. It says, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Verse 21, watch this now. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will, the Bible says. So angels do the will of God, and they heed the word of God, so that when you speak the word of God, angels come in response to God's word. That's why we got to have the word. Now, why is this powerful? This is powerful because what a demon is still a fallen angel. And sometimes what's so weird is people think demons are stronger than angels. Oh, come on. I got to scratch my head on that one. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we think somehow that darkness is more powerful than light. So we think like, no, the Bible says that the Satan convinced 1/3 of the angels to fall with them. But that still means you got 2/3 with you. So that means for every one demon, there are 2 angels that are on your side. Talk to me, somebody. So greater is he that is with me than he that is in the world. Shout amen. So the Bible says that these angels will be with us and walk with us in things. Now, point number 2, write this down. Let me get this. I want to pray for you, and then we're going to start fasting on Sunday. And I don't know about you, but I'm fired up for this fast. Shout amen. Amen. Physical obedience brings spiritual breakthrough. Physical obedience brings spiritual breakthrough. Sometimes we think what we do in the physical doesn't matter. Oh, no, it matters. Physical obedience. What we obey God in the physical brings breakthrough in the spiritual. And this is exactly what we see in the scriptures, is that there is a connection to what Daniel did physically to what was going on spiritually. While Daniel was praying in the physical, something was happening in the spiritual. And this is true all through the Bible. Moses delivered a nation. He obeyed God physically, and he brought spiritual breakthrough. David fought Goliath. Joshua obeyed God and the walls of Jericho came down. Daniel released angels and brought breakthrough. Jesus brought salvation. And the church of the new God must do the same. We must obey God physically to see spiritual breakthrough. Shout amen. And we need to realize this so that we can be able to overcome the things that the enemy tries to overcome us with. Now, you may look at this and you say, well, why did Daniel have to fast 21 days and God not respond to the end of 21? And sometimes they may appear like, what was Daniel trying to move God? Was Daniel trying to somehow make God move on his behalf? And the truth is, no. Daniel wasn't training God. God was training Daniel. And during our waiting season, God is training us. Because it's not about starting, it's about finishing. And the only way you get stamina is by building endurance. It's like the treadmill. I hate running on the treadmill. Talk to me, somebody. Raise your hand if you like running on the treadmill. We'll pray for all you guys. Amen. I like donuts. Come on, I don't. Amen. Man, I hate the treadmill. But the only way I'll ever do 10 miles is if I gradually grow from 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 mile. Okay. We're not just going to jump to 10. So what happens in our spiritual life is God will allow us to go through something for a week to 2 weeks to months because he says, I'm trying to build stamina in you. So that when you seek me for the time that you pass the test of time, and they're gonna, when God releases you that blessing, you will now have the spiritual stamina to hold the blessing till the end. Because there are so many people that we want the blessing, but the reality is you didn't learn to trust God, so you're just gonna lose it again. And when you gain it in the physical, because some are very talented and you'll rise and achieve some stuff in the flesh. But if you get it in the flesh, you try to keep it in the flesh. But if I get it in the spirit, I get to keep it in the spirit. And what got me there was not my flesh. What got me there was my spirit. And when I get into rooms that my life has brought me to, I know that I didn't get there in the flesh. I've got there in the spirit. And so the spirit fuels me. The spirit sustains me. And if God carry me there, God will sustain me there, and I can handle the blessing. Now, if you find yourself in certain places of life that you feel like, I don't even know what I'm doing here, you better get a hold of God so God can carry you. Come on. And keep you right there. Shout amen. Say amen. This is so powerful. We need to understand this, because when we get there, God gets holds. Now, let me show you this verse, because we're about to fast on Sunday, and I want everyone on board with us so we can see these miracles. But the Bible says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 29, watch this now, New King James Version. I'm almost done. This is Jesus speaking. And let me give you the context of what's happening. The disciples go to pray for a young boy who had a demon. And when the disciples pray for this young boy, they were unable to deliver this young boy from these demonic powers. So the father goes to Jesus, and he's like, these guys can't do it. They don't have the juice. And so Jesus turns, and he responds this. Put it up there for him if you can, media team, Mark 9, 29. And he said to them, watch this now. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer. Talk to me, somebody. This kind cannot come out but by prayer and fasting. What am I saying? There's certain kinds of breakthroughs and deliverance that will not take place in our lives until we position ourselves in a posture of prayer and fasting. What is the certain kind that you've been believing for? I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this word tonight, if you get a hold of the spiritual principle of fasting and prayer, this Sunday we're going to be doing together as a church. If you're out of town this Sunday, still jump on it with us. You know, we're going to be handing out prayer journals, and we're just leading our church through a massive prayer meeting, a massive prayer meeting to bring down the angels of heaven, to bring deliverance to every sector of our lives. And we're saying, God, let this kind, Father, let this kind of demonic attack, let this kind of demonic intensity, let this kind, I told you, I'm coming after what the devil has been messing with. The enemy don't want you to hear this message. He wants you to eat more double cheeseburgers. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about this kind that we're going to see God move. It's going to come out in Jesus' name. Someone shout, come out. I declare and I decree, let him have ears, let him receive what the Spirit of the Lord says, that in this season of double portion, you're going to see miracles come out. You're going to see breakthrough come out. You're going to see debt cancellation come out. You're going to see healings come out. You're going to see depression come out. You're going to see anxiety come out. You're going to see lust come out. You're going to see drama come out. You're going to see things come out that should have never been in your life. Why? It's because you started to pray, you started to fast, and your physical obedience brought spiritual breakthrough. Somebody shout, come out! Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, stand to your feet and let's worship.
Thanks for joining us today. We pray you were encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Freedom House OC today. See you next week.